Hare Krishna. So it's a great honor for me to be here in Slovenia with so many wonderful devotees and with our youth. And we are very grateful to the organizers and the management here for organizing everything so nicely for us to come. I know it's a big endeavor to make so much prasadam, give so much accommodation. So we are very grateful to all the organizers for accommodating us here so nicely. And today is our last day. Tomorrow we will all leave, and it's the last day of the project with four youth meetings, Youth for Sustainability. And unfortunately, Hungary will already leave us after lunch. So it was very nice to have your association. So we are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 32, and following verses, because there's no purpose. So till 35. I read the Sanskrit from the last, maybe, huh? The Sanskrit and from the last verse. So I just read through the first verses and then the last one we chant together. Etavat uktva prayayo naratomo kadashana tepi chanvakaman magam pratrinam eva marisha. Translation. Sugadev Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, they engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness. Text 33. Satrichinam pratichinam prayasyanu patam gata natya pite nivatante paschi maya minir iva. Translation. The Savalashvas took to the correct path, which is obtained by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service, or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. Text number 34. Etasmin kala utpatan bahun pasyan prachapati puavavana ratakritam putra nasham upashrinot. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. So now we can chant together. Next verse, text 35. Chukrota Naradaya so. Putra shoka vimilmucha chita devashim upalapyaha roshat vispurita taraha. Chukrota became very angry. Naradaya at the great sage Narada Muni. Asa, that one Daksha. Putra Shoka. Due to lamentation for the loss of his children. Vimurchita. Almost fainting. Devashim. The great sage Devashi Narada. Upalapya. Seeing. Aha. He said. Roshat. Out of great anger. Vispurita. Trembling. Atara. Who sleeps? Translation. When he heard that the Shabalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger and he spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Svayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapad. He had delivered Uttanapad's son, Dhruva, and had even delivered Prachinabahi, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating Bhakti Yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, four kinds of men, Artha, one who is distressed, Artati, one in need of money, Jikyasu, one who is inquisitive, and Jnani, a person in knowledge, try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Translation once more. Chukrata Naradaya so putra shoka vimiyamucha chita devashim upalapyaha roshat vispuritataraha. When he heard that the Savalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was very angry at Narada and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger and he spoke as follows. So this verse is now a continuation of what happened to Prajapati Daksha and his sons. And thus in a previous verse which we read, there was a very nice short statement which I just would shortly like to comment on before I go to the verse, and this was about Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. So I just would like to comment on this merciful glance, because this is such a nice statement. Like there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says that if you take darshan of the deities and you see the face of Krishna, the face, the smile of Krishna, and the smile of Krishna is touching your heart, this is the blessing of the Supreme Lord. So I'm sure many of you have experienced when we take darshan in the morning and we start from the lotus feet and go up to the face of Krishna or Radharani or Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, and we see the smile, it sometimes touches our hearts. And this is such a beautiful experience. It's like the flower of our heart, the lotus of our heart is opening up. So this, to receive this smile of Krishna, this is actually the greatest blessing. So, so here now in this verse, it's mentioned that different kind of people, they approach Krishna. So those who are inquisitive, those who are in need of money, those who are suffering, and those who are knowledge, who search after knowledge. So this lecture was more supposed actually to the youth, and I would like, you know, because we all are in a, the youth are in a situation, they are between 15, 20, 25 years old. Let's see how many are here, not so many are here from our youth actually. So they come to a stage where they have to make their choices in life. What do I want with my life? How do I want to live my life? And I'm a little nervous, I must say, so forgive me. But actually, it's said here that these four people, they come to a four kind of personalities, they come to search after devotional service, and they want to surrender to Krishna. So this surrender actually sounds very like a little hard, harsh, heavy, you know, you have to surrender, you have to surrender your life. And this is not very attractive. You feel like you are forced to do something. You don't have the free choice really to do something. But actually, surrender, the word comes from Sharanagati. And Sharanagati means actually to take shelter. So to take shelter, and is very often written to surrender. But actually to take shelter is a kind of positive approach to devotional service. To surrender is a little, has a little negative connotation. It feels like you are forced to do something. So but actually Sharanagati, to give yourself to Krishna, is actually to take shelter at Krishna. And you can see, like, if you're, for example, if you imagine you're drowning in the ocean, and there's, you know, no help, you know, you're completely alone in the ocean, you're drowning, so you look for shelter, and there suddenly comes a helicopter on the top, and they give you a rope, and you can hold on the rope, and they drag you out of the ocean. This, you take shelter of the rope, you take help from the rope to drag you out of the ocean. Or if your house is burning, you know, and you are almost, you know, have no chance, you try to run out of the house to escape the fire, to come, you know, to go, you follow the fire brigades, you listen what they say, you know, go this way and go that way. You trust them that they will help you to survive and get free from the fire. So so this is, they take shelter of the rope of the fire brigades, to that you get relieved from the pangs and the sufferings in material existence. And this is actually also true in devotional life. You know, to surrender to Krishna doesn't mean to, you know, get forced to surrender to Krishna, but it means actually to take shelter in Krishna. And Krishna is Bhagavan, and he is, you know, Krishna means both the holy name. Krishna never exists only alone. He has always his entourage. His devotees are with him. The holy name is there. The holy places are there. This is all connected to Krishna. Everything which is connected to Krishna, we can take shelter in. Even prasadam. You know, sometimes we feel so upset, like I remember speaking about Sangatan. Sometimes in Sangatan it was really tough. And it was not always easy. So sometimes, also Rumi Sudha Prabhu said in one lecture, I remember, you know, sometimes you have to take shelter of prasadam. Because prasadam is actually, it's spiritual, and it gives you a spiritual protection. You know, if you eat prasadam, if you eat non-prasadam, prasadam gives spiritual protection. That's why it is so important that we offer the food nicely, and Krishna accepts it, and it becomes prasadam, and then we get this spiritual protection and also the desire for devotional service. So this is a very important point. I find, especially for young people, but also for everyone, that we understand that actually Krishna consciousness means to take shelter. Like, for example, so you are so young, you have life in front of you, you know, 15, 20 years old. So, and life brings you many, many challenges, you know, ups and downs, and you know, situations where you sometimes feel like, you know, how to handle this. Prabhupada said once, Srila Prabhupada said that you have to face fire. And it's true, you know, material world is painful. There's adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika kleshas, the different sufferings. Like the body, sometimes, you know, we get sick, we're getting older. Then other people give us trouble, you know, they are maybe angry at us or envious at us, and also sometimes the weather is too hot, sometimes it's too cold. So there's always some kind of difficulty in this world. And so we have the choice where to take shelter from these difficulties. We can take shelter in, like, many people are depressed. They take shelter in drugs. They take shelter in alcohol, or they are, you know, going out and doing all kinds of crazy things. So we can take shelter in this one, but is this really a shelter? Actually, it's not real shelter. Maybe it gives us some temporary relief, you know, if we drink or smoke something in the evening. But then next morning we are completely finished, have a headache, you know. And it's not a shelter, really. And it destroys our body. It makes us feel, you know, the body is, you know, we get cancer from smoking. And so we have the choice where we take shelter. Do we take shelter in material opportunities, or do we take shelter in Krishna consciousness and everything what is connected to Krishna? The chanting of the holy name. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then actually this is Sri Prabhupada very often said that Krishna consciousness is a very scientific process, and it's described in the Nectar of Devotion that if we start devotional service, it all starts actually with vidya or knowledge. To get the right knowledge. Right knowledge is to understand we are eternal spirit souls and we are eternal servant of Krishna. Avidya, wrong knowledge, means I'm this body and this life is meant for me to enjoy to the max. So of course if we have this kind of knowledge and this kind of conviction, then of course it's just natural. We try to explore the world, you know, try to get as much sense gratification as possible. But if we have the right knowledge, vidya, we understand that actually we are eternal. This is not just this life. This is one life of many lives. And after this life, you know, we live. We still exist. We don't, you know, disappear or anything. So this devotional service actually starts to have the right understanding of who we are, what is you know, our real position. And if you understand this, then, like, if you have avidya, also the wrong knowledge, then you want to you are getting material desires. You want to enjoy this material world. But if you have vidya, you understand you are eternal servant and eternal loving part of Krishna, then you want to do devotional service. Your desire for service develops. And then by this desire for service, we start to engage in devotional service. So devotional service is just an amazing thing. Devotional service is so powerful that it can destroy our karma. It can relieve us from our karma. How is this possible? Because devotional service is directly connected to Krishna. And everything that is connected to Krishna is pure. Because Krishna is the most pure. And because it's connected with Krishna, it can destroy our karma. Like there is the karma, the prarabdha karma. This means the karma which we have already. We have this body, we have different diseases. Like I had from birth, I had problems with my eyes. So without glasses I cannot exist. So this is my prarabdha karma. I cannot do anything against this. But the aprarabdha karma, this is the karma which did not yet manifest. It's still in a seed form. And it can manifest, like for example, diseases, or car accident, or you know, troubles with different people, or in marriage life. This is karma which is soon to come. Like for example, a thief who steals some money, and he has the money. The police didn't get him yet. So, but the aprarabdha karma will be that the police soon will get him, and then he will get the consequences for his acts. So, by performing devotional service, actually, we can cut down this aprarabdha karma. And this is, I find it so amazing that just by you know devotional service, we can it's so powerful that we can. Get rid of karma, which actually we are supposed to get from previous lifetimes. So that's why devotees, when they start to practice devotional service, especially chanting Hare Krishna mantra, then everything becomes very auspicious. It's that the different characteristics of devotional service. Like one characteristic is that one gets immediately relieved of material suffering. And isn't it true, like you experience now you have had so much kirtan and bhajans and harinams. Isn't it that you feel like, oh, so nice, you forget all the problems, you know, you kind of fly, you know, it's just so nice, huh? And this is kind of, you know, relieving you from the problems. You're getting relieved. This is the result of practicing devotional service or chanting the holy name. Actually, we're getting free from manas trayate. Manas trayate means, like Charamara recently explained, manas means the mind. And trayate means to liberate. So the mantra, the Maha Mantra, this liberates the mind and the whole existence actually. So we're getting free from karma, we're getting free from mental, you know, depressions. And we're getting relief from material sufferings. So, so the devotional service is helping us to find happiness in life. You know, compared with if we would do sinful activities like, you know, or doing things like taking drugs or smoking or whatever. This will increase the suffering in material life. But devotional service takes it away, the suffering. And at the same time also, sometimes also devotees of course also suffer sometimes. Sometimes often also. But this suffering is also there to help us to progress in spiritual life. Like for example, if we would be always happy, then we would maybe become too puffed up or, you know. So we have to also be a little bit down to earth and understand that you know, we are conditioned soul, and we have to become humble also in our relationship to Krishna. But it's like a fan also, like you have a fan, and if you put on the fan, it goes very quick. And if you take out the electricity contact, then it doesn't go immediately stop. It goes slower and slower and slower and slower, till it finally stops. So that's also the process with karma. It's not that it immediately we are free from all karma, but it's a process, it takes some time. So we have to be patient also. So when we start to engage in devotional service, then Krishna also, he becomes very much attentive to us. He sees what we are doing for him. He sees our desires. He's in our heart. So he knows everything. So if he sees some spirit soul is trying to get closer to him, he becomes attentive. And he wants to help that devotee in different ways. And he gives us shelter. So his shelter is always there. Like I remember on Sangatan once, I really had a hard time, and I called my temple president, Vishwadev Prabhu, and I told him, Vishwadev, I there's no more mercy here. It's I'm lost, no more mercy. And then he said something to me which I still remember today, more than 20 years later. He said, Kalpavasini was my name at that time. Kalpavasini, the mercy of Krishna is always there. You never lose the mercy. Even if you have done something bad, you never lose the mercy. And I always remember this. You know, whenever hard times come, Krishna is always there for us. He never lets us go. Especially if we have once surrendered unto him, taken shelter at him, he always will be there for us. And there's a very wonderful example in Ramayana where Bibisan, the brother of Ravana, he was actually a devotee. Ravana was the great demon who kidnapped Sita. So Bibisan, he understood that was Ravana was doing was not right. So he wanted to convince him, you know, give Sita back to Ram and let us have peace. But he didn't listen. So he said to Bibisan, okay, if you would not be my brother, I would actually kill you, but you please go. So he sent him away. So Bibisan, he went to Ram and his camp. And when he came there, some were a little suspicious. You know, he was the brother of Ravana. Maybe he's a spy. He comes here to spy what we are doing, what we are planning. So he was, they were a little suspicious about him. But then Ram, he said something very striking. He said, whenever a devotee takes shelter at me, I will never push him away. I will always give shelter to anybody. Even if Ravana would come, Ravana who had kidnapped Ram's wife, Sita, who had killed Jatayu and so many pious people, even if he would come and would take shelter unto me, I would not kick him away. I would give him shelter. So Krishna is so merciful that he is always there for us. We can always approach him, and he is always giving us the shelter. And the shelter is like, for example, how can we take shelter? In my personal example, for me, when I'm in distress, my best shelter is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Japa, Japa chanting. This is my real shelter. Then I really can connect the heart, connect with the soul inside. This is real, the shelter. And then you feel, you know, there's relief. It was not so bad, you know, it's not such a big problem, you know. So, or we take shelter in the association of devotees. We come together, you know, we like Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instructions, he says there's six kinds of exchanges, loving exchanges between devotees. And one exchange is to reveal your heart to somebody whom you trust, a devotee whom you trust. So this is taking shelter. So shelter of the Lord is always there, and we can always approach Him 24/7. He is awake, He is not sleeping, there is no time for the Lord that He says, okay, I'm taking rest now, come in half an hour. No, He's always there for us. So, message to our youth. There will be challenges in life. There will be, you know, ups and downs. There will be even things which will not be righteous towards us. No. Even maybe with devotees we can have some troubles. But we should never give up the shelter of Krishna. Always take shelter of Krishna. If we take shelter somewhere else, it might be a temporary shelter. But the real shelter is the Lord. He's always there for us. So, maybe I end with a little Sangatan story, since it was the marathon. I remember my sister and me, we were traveling quite often together. And one time, we were together in the van, and we had a little quarrel in the morning. You know, in the marathon, sometimes it was very intense, but often. And we had a little quarrel, we were quarreling. And we were both, I think we were even crying both. And then it struck me. I said to her, Padma, this is now Maya. She always comes when devotees want to do something nice together. Maya always comes with some, you know, problems or destroying the association of the devotees. So we have to keep together. And we have now to fight together for Guru and for Krishna and to save the conditioned souls. And then we embraced each other, you know, and and then we went out. And it was really such an amazing experience, which I rarely had in my life. I felt like in a spiritual bubble, you know, where things just happen without you really doing much. You know, you just like feel like everything goes automatically. And you feel like completely protected, completely peaceful, like nothing can come close to you. And the books just flew out. So many books, both me and my sister, we distributed that day, I remember. And it was just, you know, it was an out-of-this-world experience. So when we came back then to the van, we disputed the whole day. And then in the evening, we met the Prabhus. They were accidentally also distributing in the same area where we distributed. And we met them in the evening at the petrol station. And then they said, how was it? And we, you know, yeah, it was okay, it was nice, we didn't want to make too much. And then, oh, it was so tough, the Prabhupada told us, such a tough place here, I never come here again. And I was like, what? You know, for us it was so ecstatic and so nice. And then I realized that was really Krishna giving us the blessing, because we were, you know, really trying together to please Guru, to please Krishna, to do something nice for them, and to help the conditioned souls. So Krishna was so pleased with the attitude that He gave us so much blessings that everything went so nicely. And this was so clear when we met the Prabhujis and they were struggling so hard, you know. So in my experience in Krishna consciousness, when devotees work nicely together, then things can manifest which over expectations, actually. I see this again and again. Even if the devotees not always are the most expert people in the different fields, but if they work nicely together, then things really manifest in beautiful ways. So that was that was an experience which I never want to forget. My sister and me, we had, since Charamara mentioned it, she passed away 1.5 years ago. And we had such a lot of fun together. We were always, you know, laughing together, and we had so much fun together. So when she left, we were chanting together for 1 hour Hare Krishna mantra. And she was looking at the picture of Radha Madhava, and then she left her last Hare Krishna, and then she left. Yeah. And Prema Murthy, yes, Prema Manjari. She was with us also in Sangatan for some time. No? You know her also, no? Yeah. So I see that this was Krishna also, because in her stage to be conscious at all was not possible from a material perspective. But she got the complete mercy of Krishna. And that's why she could, you know, be so conscious and aware when she left. This is so the Lord's mercy is it comes in ways which we don't expect. Both the mercy, and the mercy comes sometimes as a flower, you know, as a rose, sometimes as a club. But both is ecstatic. If you get it and if you realize it, it's so if we take shelter of Krishna, we will make indescribable experiences in our lives, which will give us, you know, so much happiness and will relieve us from material distress. So yeah, so thank you so much. And I wish you all the best when you are going back to Hungary. And I thank all the youth so much for your wonderful spirit which you have. It's so nice to hear your bhajans. There's so much shakti, so much devotion. It's like in your genes. So it's really take advantage, find your place, take your place in this movement so that you can, you know, develop nicely and happy, become happy in this way. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. I'm a little bit nervous speaking in front of all of you, so I'm so sorry. But thank you for giving me some opportunity to serve. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.